We are in a series, Being Rooted in Christ, and we talked about the very first week is we have got to be rooted. And we talked about how roots grow deep as the tree grows strong. And if the tree grows strong but you don't have roots, what happens when the storms of life come? You just basically are destroyed. We saw that on a lot of these pine trees as you're driving around the neighborhoods over the crazy weather we've had over the last several weeks. Trees down everywhere. It's because the roots were not strong enough to keep it tied in. And so we talked about that. But then we talked about how do we fertilize it? And it's being in God's Word, letting God's Word nourish us. Where do we find hope in times of despair? Where do we find a rock in times of our grief? Where do we find all of these things for us? And it's in God's Word. And so we're nourished by God's Word. And then we realized last week in studying His Word that God loves us. And if we're in God, He's going to prune us. And the pruning is not always enjoyable. In fact, when we're being pruned, we may feel like we're being outcast, where we're being shut off, where we're being cut off, where God is not listening to us. Can you even hear me? And we're going through this pruning season where God is removing some good things in our life so that we could be focused on the main thing. And so today I want to talk about fruit and fruit that lasts. Father, I pray this morning that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Let me ask you something, and this is a Paul thing, so it's kind of weird, but have you ever bitten into a piece of fruit that looked good on the outside, but when you bit into it, it was like rotten? Like you pulled out an apple and you got half a worm in there or something? I told you it was a Paul thing. You know, on the outside, it looked good. But on the inside, it wasn't good. I opened up a banana the other day, and I was going to put it in my smoothie. And when I opened it up, like on the outside, it looked fine. But on the inside, there were really like bruises thing, and where you could barely touch it. And it was like applesauce, and your finger went all the way in. And I'm thinking, I don't even want to put that in my protein shake. So I ate it anyway, but it is what it is. So too many believers, we kind of base things on appearance and not necessarily on being authentic. In other words, you look like a Christian. I mean, you're carrying around this big Bible. You're saying all the right things. And so we look at that and we say, man, they must have their life together, when in fact, it may be rotten on the inside. I mean, the religious leaders were like that in Jesus' time. And he called them. He said, you're whitewashed tombs. On the outside, you got this appearance like everything's going well, but inside, you're dead. Dead. We polish the outside of things and the inside withers, and it withers because there's a lack of surrender. We want to hang on to our self-control. And so let's be honest, there's a big difference between being a busy Christian and then being fruitful in the Christian life. You can serve in church. You can post Christian memes online. I mean, you can attend all the Bible studies that we offer, and you could still be dry, bitter, and unchanged on the inside. You can be successful in ministry, and you can be shriveled in your character. It's like the outside of the fruit. We appear to be blessed, but inside we are spiritually barren. God's not interested in the surface level of faith. He is after fruit that lasts. And that's being rooted in Jesus and being formed by the Spirit. And it's being revealed in everyday life. Jesus says this, you will know them by their fruit. And Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5 what that fruit looks like. It's not flashy ministry. It's not eloquent speech. It's not high religious activity. But it is a transformed inner life. So let's go to the Word and see what the Holy Spirit desires to grow in us. I'm in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. The first thing, Fruit is produced in us through the Holy Spirit. It's not based on performance. Fruit is produced, it's not performed. Paul calls it the fruit of the Spirit, not the traits of the disciplined or what a good Christian is supposed to look like or the efforts of the religious. He's talking about what is this life change that makes us different, makes us changed. You know, Jesus says, the old has passed away, the new has come. What is this new? Jesus says, it's they will know you by the fruit. Fruit is this overflow on the outside of what is happening to us on the inside. And so what this means, you don't generate it. You don't just produce it in your own strength. It's the Spirit's work in you. Like when you're sitting there in your Bible study first thing in the morning, you're thinking like, you know, God, I want to pray and I want you to fill me with the fruit of the Spirit and I want you to make it more apparent. And man, I'm feeling so patient today. Until you get in the car and you're on the way and you have to drive through McDonough and you can't drive. You're just sitting in a parking lot and there's a truck trying to get in your lane and you're not going to let him in because you've already let three people in, but he's starting to get over there anyway. Where's your patience? If it's in your own strength, you're going to lose it. Your patience grows from the Holy Spirit. It's also something we don't fake. You can't fake the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It has to grow. You don't manufacture it. You can't force it. You have to abide and cultivate it. And that comes through the pruning that God does. You bear fruit as this union that we have with Christ. And it only happens when we are submitted to the Spirit. He writes in John, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Spiritual fruit is not about trying harder. You know, I'm going to try harder to be more loving. I'm going to try harder to be more kind. I'm going to try more hard to be gentle. I'm going to try harder to be this and that and this and that. It's not nothing that. He also tells us in John chapter 15, verse 4, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It has to remain in the vine. And this is humbling if we really think about it, because it means we can memorize Scripture and we could still lack kindness. We can lead worship and we can still lack self-control. We can preach powerfully and we could still have a bitter heart. The true test of our spiritual maturity is not in the gifting that we have. Oh, you know, I've got the gift of this. I've got the gift of this. Look at all these gifts I have. It's not about the gift. It's the fruit. What is the fruit from the gift that you have? The fruit is the evidence of God's work in us. So that's the first thing. I mean, you can't produce it. It's from the Spirit. The second thing, the fruit is one cluster. It's not nine different choices. It's not it's multidimensional. Here, Paul says fruit singular, not fruits plural. That means these nine qualities come as a package. And we've talked about this before. It's not a pick your favorites menu. Think of it like a diamond. A diamond is one thing, but it has many different facets. You can't say, hey, I'm good at joy and peace, but I don't have patience. I'm not patient. You can't say, hey, I've got kindness down, but I'm going to have to pass on that self-control. When someone says to you, hey, you know what? I'm just not a patient person. Or someone says to you, hey, I'm just not wired to be gentle. The answer is, hey, you're not meant to rely on your wiring. It has nothing to do with that. You are meant to rely on the Spirit. And the Spirit grows this whole life harvest in us. And here's the beauty of each of these traits. Love, that's self-giving sacrifice. Joy, this deep, abiding gladness. Peace, you have a soul that is anchored in the middle of truth in the storm. You have patience. You are long-suffering. You are slow to anger. You are kind. You're gentle and considerate. Your goodness, your moral integrity, your faithfulness, your loyalty, your trustworthiness, your gentleness, that's that strength under control. And then self-control, you are led by the Spirit and restrained in your flesh. And the more fruit that we bear and the more it is apparent in our lives, the more we look like Jesus to the world. But the third thing that's in here is the flesh fights the fruit. In verse 17, it says, the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. Even as we walk with Christ, there's this war that's going on inside of us, our sinful nature, our flesh. It wants control. But verse 24 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. We don't just prune the flesh. Do you read this? It says we crucify it. We don't manage sin. We kill sin. That's why you can't bear fruit while clinging to this unrepentant sin like pride or self-reliance. And that's why you can't bear fruit if you are growing it in a soil of pride or lust or ego. It's just not going to happen. Fruit grows in a surrendered soil, in a life that has said no to self, and it can say yes to God. Paul writes in Romans, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. If you want to grow the Spirit's fruit, you have to surrender your flesh's control. He writes the letter in Galatians in chapter 2. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is I no longer live. Many of us, we want the fruit of the Spirit without the death of the flesh. In other words, God, I want all of these things, but I don't want to give up my control. But Paul reminds us there's no fruit without death. There's no harvest in our lives without surrender. It's not about behavior management. It's not how good I could be, how gentle I could be, how loving I could be, how kind I can be. It's about crucifixion. Some things in us have to die so Christ can live through us. Another thing, we are walking in step with the Spirit. Verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And keeping in step with the Spirit is a daily rhythm. It's a daily pace. How do we do that? It's not about these emotional highs. It's a steady walk. It's not a sprint. It's a steady moving forward. It's about faithful steps in the same direction over time, powered by the Spirit. It doesn't need to be flashy to be fruitful. You just need to be faithful. So daily communion with God, not just Sunday worship or Monday morning Bible study or Sunday evening Bible study or Tuesday prayer group or Wednesday small groups. It's every day being in step and walking with God. It's listening and responding and adjusting and changing and growing in Christ. It's learning to pause when He pauses. And it's learning to move when He says to move. So ask yourself, is my pace aligned with the Spirit, or am I just feeling pressured to do something? Are you living with this divine flow? Are you just kind of religiously striving? You know, I'm going to be better, I promise. The healthiest fruit grows when the roots are deep, the Spirit is present, and our walk is consistent. Another thing, the fruit is formed in fire. We love the idea, but we forget that fruit takes time. Fruit is slow, and it's formed in hardship. I've been trying to grow blueberries for 3 years now, and now I have two dead plants and one plant, and it grows just small enough that the birds come and eat them. So at least they're getting some blueberries. But I'm like, where are my blueberries? Put a muscadine vine out. It's been out there for 3 years. No muscadines yet. I got this like little stringy vine going across. Nothing on there yet. I'm praying for fruit, but fruit takes time. I mean, we want to plant a seed. We go out the next day. We want to see, hey, where's those cucumbers? Where's that squash? Where are those tomatoes? It takes time. It takes the right soil. It takes nurturing. It takes all of that stuff for the fruit to grow. We love the idea of fruit. You don't develop peace in your life by saying, hey, I'm just going to learn to have more peace in my life. No, it is when your life is shaken, when you go through a difficult season, that's when the fire begins to produce fruit of peace in your life. You don't develop self-control until temptation hits you. You could sit there and tell me, hey, I've got plenty of self-control until you're tempted by something. And you don't develop joy until sorrow comes and tries to steal it. The fruit of the Spirit is often formed when nothing feels fruitful. James writes this. He says, the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So if you're in a hard season, don't run away from it. Stay rooted, because God may be forming something invisible that will bear visible fruit in time. Oftentimes when we go through a struggle and we get to the other side and we look back, maybe years later, we look back and say, you know what, that was a time when I thought I was on my own, but God was leading me the whole time. Jesus says, I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. We don't want this flash-in-the-pan success. We don't want temporary emotional highs. We want a life that lasts, character that endures, and a legacy that impacts, that's Christ-like, that's different. And only the Spirit can produce that lasting fruit in our life. And another thing, when we think about fruit, it's nice to grow fruit and vegetables and things, and you look at it and say, man, that's beautiful. I went to Roger and Kathy's house the other day, and he had this Cherokee purple tomato the size of a gourd. I mean, the thing was like that. I mean, if we had like those little contests at the farms where they pass out blue ribbons, he'd have got like two blue ribbons or whatever. I mean, it was huge. But we don't grow fruit to just look at it. We grow fruit to share, to feed. And the fruit is for God's glory and others' goods. Here's the thing about fruit. It's not for the tree. It's for those around us. The fruit isn't for you. It's for your family. It's for your coworkers. It's for your enemies. It's for your children. It's for your church. It's for the edification of the body here at Three Point. You bear love for those that are hard to love. You bear patience with those who wear you out. You have gentleness with those who don't deserve it. And in all of that, who gets the glory? You don't. God gets the glory. Jesus says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. So what kind of fruit are you bearing? What kind of fruit am I bearing? Ask yourself honestly, is the fruit of the Spirit growing in me? Or am I just going through the motions? Am I just a busy Christian, or am I engaged in ministry? Am I becoming more loving, joyful, gentle? Or have I just added more stuff to my calendar and I'm busy? Have I crucified my flesh, or am I decorating it with religious activity? Real fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, won't rot. Real fruit won't be fake. Real fruit is what glorifies God. So don't settle for this leafy, fruitless life. You can't produce this fruit. You can only surrender to the one who does. Father, we surrender ourselves to you. And we ask that you would grow your fruit in us, that you would cut out what hinders and kill what corrupts, and fill us with the character of Christ your Son, fruit that lasts not for our reputation, not for our glory, but for your glory. And we pray this all in the name of our Lord and Savior. Amen.